Praise God that he's alive and at work. And any of us can step out of this building or even look into our own hearts and realize the devil is doing much on this earth. He is furiously working against the plans of God, but he will fail because God is God. Last time I checked, and he's on his throne. And so tonight we praise him and we subject ourselves under him. And there is nothing better we can do than to do that. I want you to know if the devil has held you captive, it doesn't matter if it's for 20 years, the Lord can set you free in a moment. What the devil has done over decades, the Lord can undo in a moment. We praise God for his, not just his grace and mercy. If he had grace and mercy but had no power, he would not be able to help us. And if he had all the power but had no grace or mercy, he would not want to help us. But he has both. And so we come to him tonight. We don't come to some trivial liturgical meeting, some club that we've started because we like to comfort ourselves by reading from our favorite book. We come to the God of heaven. We come to a mountain. Where Israel came to a mountain that couldn't be touched, we come to the mountain of God full of joyful angels, celebrating. And so as we open God's word, we do not do it in a trivial way. We do it with eagerness. We do it with reverence towards the Lord. And we do it in anticipation that the Lord would change us tonight. From those of us who have served the Lord for even for decades by this point, and even if we have walked into this meeting under a cloud of sin and correct judgment from God, I would say. Not just condemnation that's made in and of ourselves, but correct judgment from the God of holiness. We might have come into this meeting under God's judgment because he wants us to repent and he wants to offer us life. And so the Lord will show us that we are in deep trouble so that he can help us. It's a beautiful thing about the Lord. The Lord sends his son for us so that we will be turned away from his anger. It's God's plan. Well, let us open God's word. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and from verse 4. I want to just zero in on one parable Jesus told. The parables he told are important. They're not arbitrary stories. They're not little fairy tales. They are descriptions of how the kingdom of God works, how we work, how everything works, how eternity works. And so as we open to this parable, we understand that the Lord is trying to help us by giving it to us, by speaking it when Jesus walked this earth 2,000 years ago, by it being faithfully written down, and by it coming to us today so that we would have life. Look at Luke 8 and verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Now this message is important, not because I'm going to give you some brand new revelation and find something that you've never seen in this text. When people start finding things you've never seen, you should wonder where they've got it from. The word of God is good enough to be preached until he comes again and to have life on it and be received as it is given to us. We're not in the habit of trying to be clever and to stroke our own egos, invent new fantastical interpretations of scripture. And I want to bring this to us because of the season we're in. We're in a season of growth. I believe we're in a season of testing. Whenever there is growth, whenever there is advancing, whenever things open up, as it were, there is a testing of our hearts. And there is a testing of what, will we stand firm? Will we hold the word of God true? Will we examine ourselves? Will we live in a way that pleases the Lord? Will we call on him? Will we be found as he wants us to be? I want to name what I'm going to share tonight: growing up, not giving up. Growing up, not giving up. The enemy would love nothing more than every single one of us in this room to give up. To give up tonight. There would be people here, we must never think that there are not people even among us who would despair of life, who'd wonder if they should even end their own lives. God forbid that lie would be believed. God comes to rescue. And so we want to be those who grow up in the Lord. So Jesus describes, and the reason this is so important is that the Lord Jesus has described four scenarios that will happen when God's word is preached. That means if anyone has heard something of God's word, one of these four things is going to happen. And it's down to us calling on the Lord to determine which one it is. It's down to us hearing this. Jesus said, let him who has ears, let him hear. There is a doctrine of the sovereignty of God which is accurate and true and must be preached. But we also believe in the responsibility of man. And so the sovereignty of God goes hand in hand with the responsibility of man. And we must carry them both. And so there is a sovereignty of God as to even our very lives, and yet there is a responsibility upon us to do something with that which God has given us, with that which God has said to us. So Jesus carries on. Well, he ends the parable. And in verse 9, his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. Now he's quoting Isaiah chapter 6, when God told Isaiah to go and speak to the nation. I must be frank with you. I don't always understand the dynamic of God giving his word and what it does in human hearts. And even that phrase, though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand, you might find some theologian who tells you exactly what that means. I think what it means is that when the word of God is spoken forth, it does something in human hearts. In a way, it pushes human hearts either way. And that is God's way. God is not afraid of people rejecting him. In fact, if people want to reject him, he will speed it up. In Revelation, we read, though it's such a weird phrase, right at the end, let those who are filthy be filthy still. What a strange thing to say to people. Well, God says, if you want a course of your life and you want to be given over to it, I will give you over to it if you want it that badly. And I will let you take it. And so something in Jesus even telling these parables was to, in a way, to sift through who was seeking the kingdom of God and who wasn't. Who wanted the Lord and who didn't. And today God is still doing the same thing. And I sat in church meetings 20 years ago. I would sit in church meetings where the gospel was being preached and the truth of God was being preached and the way of living a righteous life. And I, in some way, I didn't want it. I functionally didn't want it. And what it did was it caused me to go into a deep rebellion from which I'm still feeling the pain of it. I've come through it and I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart, but I descended into a rebellion. And so even then, when the word of God was preached to me, in some way it pushed me into my heart's desire. The word of God forced me to do something with it. And I didn't want it. Well, I've got a complicated backstory. Maybe you do too. All I can say is I want it now. I want it now. I wasted time. How many of us have wasted time in this room? No longer. We can't waste time anymore. And so he tells them this, and they must have gone, okay. And then he says this, verse 11. This is so important. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. The Lord considers his word as seed. Something that will do something. The Lord considers his own word. Do you remember when he says in Isaiah 55, we quote it often, my word will not return to me void. That's what that means. God goes, when my word goes out, it will do something. It will accomplish my purposes. Now, God's exact purposes are beyond our pay grade, beyond our scope. I would not presume to even go near that. And yet, what God wants to happen will happen through his word coming out, through his word going forth. No one will confound God. No one will go, you said this, but I slipped into a crack. Found a crack, slipped into it, and you didn't get me. But the Bible says every mouth will be closed in front of God. And so God, when he describes his own word, he says it's seed. And it's going out, and it's landing, and it's going to do something. Something is always happening when God's word goes out. The great lie of our generation is that you can be neutral. It's a lie. You see it in the apologetic sphere. You'll get people who say they're agnostics. Well, I don't know. So you guys talk about the Bible. Well, I don't know. I'm neutral. No, you're not neutral. The Bible says God exists. You're saying you don't know. You're wrong. You're against the Bible. Nobody's neutral. God doesn't give room for neutrality. Think of when the word of God came to Pharaoh through Moses. Let my people go. It's the word of God. Let my people go. What does Pharaoh do? Pushes him into something. The seed does something. No. No, I won't. He does it about five times. No. No. Petulant pyramid person. Forgive me. Brothers, forgive me. No, I won't. Five times he says it. Do you know halfway through? It says Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Halfway through it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God goes, this is what you want, I'll give it to you. Now I'm making your heart do things because I know what you want and I'm going to give it to you. And he completes his road of rebellion against God. The word of God came to Pharaoh and nothing was neutral. From the moment the word of God came to him, nothing was neutral. It's the same for us. The minute the word of God comes, it demands to be recognized as it is or ignored. I just thank God for his mercy because I've ignored his word many times. I fear I still do it today, often. And I thank God for his grace that I can only come under his grace and plead for mercy. And then resolve to treat God's word well, to treat the seed of God's word well, to do something with it. When I was younger, we played a show, our band, in I think Claremont's in Cape Town at some civic center. And we played this show, and because we were Christian guys, but we were little punks, man, and we thought we were clever. And we'd heard that if you say you're Christians and you're a musician and artist, if you say you're Christian, you get labeled as a Christian artist. And we were like, well, heck no. Heck no, that's not happening to us. So we got up at that Claremont Civic Center, and I remember one of the guys in the band saying, we are not a Christian band. Just want you to know that. I thought, something about this feels weird. Guy came to me afterwards. He was an old school friend. He was the guy who would stand up and preach at school. He loved God. He came to me afterwards. He was at the show. I didn't know he was there. He said, when you said that, I thought to myself, you're ashamed of Jesus. You're ashamed of him. He looked me in the eye. I had absolutely no reply. I just looked at him. I thought I could stay neutral even while he said it. And I said, yeah, I think you're right. I think, yeah, maybe we must work on that. And by remaining neutral in that moment, I plunged myself. Do you know what it did? It hardened my heart further. It actually made my heart harder. I didn't say to him, stop it or keep quiet or whatever. I didn't say that to him. I didn't have a go at him. I just said, that's true. I think you're right. And I try to stay neutral. I try to hedge my bets and stay neutral. And my heart just went clink. It just got a harder layer on top of it. I thought, oh. And we went on our way and we torpedoed our lives. We messed up our lives. The word of God came to us, the seed. And so, because God considers his word a seed that always does something, it never lets anything stay as it is. It never lets anything just sort of remain with nothing happening. We're going to see four types of scenarios that happen. And Jesus now explains them as we've read them. Firstly, now he explains this, verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. In this season, we as a people need to be able to inquire of each other, have you been born again? Have you been born again? Have you believed? This is the season for it. If we have been weak in this, if we have been asleep in this area, let's fix it today. Let's turn our hearts towards this. Because there is a seed that goes out that lands on hard ground. It lands there, and the enemy comes straight away and he guns at it. And because it's vulnerable, it gets snatched up. And we in our generation want to be found asking each other, have you been born again? I want to ask a stunningly simple question. Have you been born again? It was George Whitefield, I think I've shared this before, who kept saying, you must be born again. You must be born again. Someone once said to him, why do you keep saying that? He said, because you must be born again. And it's true. We've lost that language. How many of us have lost that language from our vocab? I had I've got at the moment the great privilege and great joy, actually, of becoming friends with a man who I was put in touch with, who is, as Paul said in Acts 17 to the Athenians, he's in some way feeling his way towards God. And the Lord is reaching out to this man, and he's older than I am, and he's lived a life of actually walking away from God by his own admission. And we're sitting together, and we sat, and I said, let's start at the beginning. And we spoke about sin, and I said, the Lord says to us, we must be born again. And it was amazing just to see his reaction, to say, born again. He was trying to understand it. What does that mean? That means you get a new heart. It means you believe. You belong to the Lord. And you know what? Before many people can get there, the enemy comes and steals it away. Many people. There's so many who think, I've heard this, but I'll make a decision when I'm ready to make a decision. I'll decide. We kind of put God on the level of like what number do you want at McDonald's? Like 1, 2, 3, what do you want? Like a happy meal, what do you want? And we're like, I'll decide just now. We don't realize what's at stake. And even while we're in that place and we've heard God, the enemy comes and steals it away. How many of us, even before we knew the Lord, we'd be in a church meeting. We'd feel something so intense and so serious. And we'd leave the building, and when we were out of the space of God's people, we'd think to ourselves, wow, emotions are really powerful. No, it wasn't emotions. That was reality. That was the conviction of God. That's the truth. The rest of my life isn't actually the truth. It's the lie. That thing is the truth. And so we ask each other, are you born again? Have you believed? I want to ask you that tonight. Are you born again? If you say to yourself, I don't know, well, don't you think it's worth knowing? Don't you think it's worth knowing? We can get a lot of things wrong, man. I get a lot of things wrong. We can make mistakes. We can make huge mistakes on buying houses and doing silly things. And you buy some massive thing and you're like, what have I done? This was so silly. We cannot get this wrong. We cannot get being in Christ wrong. Because again, it's not neutral. We're not taken from nothing into Christ. We're taken from death into Christ. We're not taken from sort of zero, like, oh, there's nothing really happening, and oh, praise the Lord, he found me. No, we're utterly condemned to destruction. That was what was happening. We were in the, it's like I read again, the Lord doesn't say to people, you must worship me or I'll throw you into hell. The Lord says to people, you are going to hell. You need to turn to me and give me glory and worship me and come under my covering. That's what's happening. The Lord doesn't send people to hell. He tries to stop people from going to hell. And those who do not want to be stopped, he sends them. He says, well, you can go. And so in our generation, in this season, we are bold. We're not afraid to ask each other that. I'm not talking about somebody we've served the Lord with for 30 years. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying when people are coming among us, coming and enjoying the love that we have and the fellowship, we're asking each other, are you born again? Because that seed wants to be snatched if you're not. If you've heard the word of God, you must do something with it. Verse 13, those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Does this describe 70% of youth groups that we've been part of? I'm not talking about combustion. I'm not talking about, I think there's better ways people find of doing it. But I find that describes much of my experience of serving the Lord when I was younger. It's not just for young people, but I think it is particular. Even in that generation, it's like there's an excitement, there's a hearing of it with joy that's sincere, but there's no root. There's nothing going down, and somebody falls away. I'm at an age now where I'm seeing people who even served the Lord together when we were younger, and I abandoned the Lord. I don't hide that. I abandoned the Lord. But praise God, by his mercy, I came back to him. And I've got friends who have not come back to him. I remember when I was at Victoria Park High School, shout out VP. When I was at, come on. That's right. Vivite Fortes, yeah. Yeah. Where was I? When I was at VP, I remember a young guy used to come and speak to us. He would come and speak about Jesus. And he's a very distinctive looking guy. He was part of a church in the city. And he had a very distinctive hairstyle, and that's what you need if you're going to speak to young people. Like, have something about you that's, like, different. And he would come, and listen, if you'd said to me, point me to a Christian who is the embodiment of someone who is passionate about Jesus, I would have taken you to my assembly on whatever days he would come, and I'd say, that guy there, that's him. I remember years later, it wasn't even long when I was out of school. It was a couple of years in. I sat down at a small Bible study with this, and I looked at this man next to me, and I was like, what is going on here? I know this guy. And his hairstyle completely changed. That's why I didn't recognize him. And it turned out, as we spoke, that he'd gone overseas. He'd completely abandoned God. Completely. Messed his head up. And we were sitting here, and he was trying to get himself back together. And I, even at my age and my immaturity, I realized, I don't think this guy's going to get it back together. I think he's deep. And I just thought, if that guy can fall away, that guy, oh my, what? I mean, how much is this happening in our generation? Falling away. We should not live neurotically as though you can have a bad day and fall away from the Lord. Now, if you want to fall away from the Lord, I believe you've got to set your heart on doing that. The Lord is merciful, man. He's gracious. Don't have some bad morning and God's like, I'm done with you. I give you over to you. No. No. God is kind. He's compassionate. The Bible says he knows we're dust. He knows. And yet, it is possible to say, I want to fall away from you. And I love sin more than I love you. And if we do that long enough and we keep going, we become that seed that is in the shallow soil. It was excited for a little bit. It felt its own growth. It thought, I'm doing this. I'm doing this. But suddenly, when the sun came out, it looked down and realized its roots were nowhere. Its roots hadn't gone down. And it's like, I haven't put my roots down. I've got nothing. I've got nothing to dig into. And it gets burned up. It gets totally withered by the sun. So we're in the habit even of telling each other the truth about serving the Lord. To say to each other, serving the Lord is dying to yourself. Serving the Lord is, can I say a word that is, it's a swear word, and I'm not going to say an actual swear word. It's a swear word in our generation. Suffering. Suffering. You want to preach a preach that doesn't get downloads. Preach on suffering. So I would like to preach on suffering today. Watch everyone just head to the bathroom. It's like a word. We're like, it's only about Jesus. Paul said we enter the kingdom through suffering. It's how we enter. And suffering is like we die to ourselves. We beat our own bodies into submission. The sin I've loved, I now hate it. I want to serve God. I want to live for him. I hate the way that I sin. I hate my own propensity towards sin. I hate the flesh in me that gravitates towards it. I suffer. I fight against it in the strength of the Lord, not in my own strength, but in the strength of the Lord, I fight against it. We teach each other. How are we going to avoid being a group of people with a whole bunch among us who just shoot up and then wither away? How will we avoid that? We teach each other. We teach each other. In order to serve God, we must suffer. Young men and women dating, going, I just can't keep my hands off her. We must suffer. We must suffer. The Lord says, die. And if you have to have 10 people who are phoning you, going, are you at your girlfriend's house right now? And what are you doing? We've got to decide, are we going to listen to the world that says, don't let any person tell you what to do? Or are we going to say, gather around me, literally for God's sake, gather around me a council of people who are wise to tell me what to do when I'm failing to do it myself. Gather them around me. My goodness. We must suffer. We enter through suffering. I was a man, a reckless man, as a Christian, as a believer, a reckless man who gave myself to sin. And I want you to know, I pay the price even to this day. Not that I'm unforgiven, I'm forgiven by God. But I pay the price in the blight of sin against the Lord and the damage it did to my heart and to my life. I do not walk around condemned. I do not walk around going, the Lord hates me. I don't think like that. I love the Lord and he loves me. But I did great violence to myself and to others that I brought into sin with me. And that is more scary than anything. Jesus said, you cause one of these little ones to sin. It's better for you that I take you and throw you into the sea with a rock tied to you. I don't know how to quantify that verse. I do not know what to do with that. I just know when I drag someone into sin with me, I've done something way bigger than myself just sinning. And it's serious. It's serious. The Lord is serious. How are we not going to be this plant that shoots up and just withers away? We teach each other, suffer. Suffer for the Lord. Die for the Lord. Give up. Give up things. Do you need to give up things? Give them up. Give them up. We throw ourselves into the Word of God. We plunge ourselves into God's Word and read it. We get a Bible reading plan. We try just every single day, let the Word of God form itself in our hearts. In our hearts. We do whatever we've got to do. I am at a great inconvenience in my life. I do not go online unless I'm sitting next to someone. I don't go online unless I'm sitting next to someone, either my family or someone else. Because Sean Bridesmith has a problem. And the problem is what is online wants to drag me into it. Inch by inch, by cursed inch, into it, through all the social media. We never throw ourselves into something horrendous just on a whim. We fingertip our way into it and into it and into it and into it. So I've had to make a decision for myself. I will not go online onto any website unless someone is sitting next to me for my own sake, that I don't spend 3 hours on YouTube Shorts. No one relates, right? I don't blow my life away on YouTube Shorts. I've also got other things to work on. I'm not some holy man getting nothing wrong, right? But goodness me. It's a real inconvenience. What? Oh, no, I didn't mean that. It's a genuine inconvenience. Wow, you guys are good. Huh? Don't even have to do the punchlines. Wow. Okay. I see. It's not easy, man. It sounds so stupid to say it's suffering, but you know when I wake up in the morning and I want to know what the weather is, I don't know what the weather's going to be for the day. Because I'm like, if I'm on my own, I'm not going online. Does this sound ridiculous? Does this sound silly? Is this sounding like I'm silly? Yeah, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. And I have wasted way too much time online. It drags me in. I've got a weakness in my character. If you don't have that weakness, God bless you. You got another one, but you don't have that one. Sorry. Sorry to say it. Sorry to be the messenger. I've got that one. And you know what? I'm going to be tested on this. Oh, I shouldn't have mentioned it. I'm going to be tested on this. Because I've had to, it's not an oath, it's not a vow, it's not that. But I've had to go, I'm doing this. I'm setting this as a standard. I've got to do this. I have to. Because I cannot go down this wormhole. I cannot go down this disaster. So we suffer. That's how we avoid this. We teach each other, new believers. We suffer for the Lord. I'm afraid of the online ministries, particularly from the West, that are teaching us that we can be Christians, and I cannot find a distinction between what I see in the world and who I see in the worship videos. I'm just struggling to find the distinction. It just looks exactly the same. I'm like, how am I dying to myself? I cannot find a distinction between the world I'm called into, the online world full of everything. And then I must just magically serve Jesus with everything in my heart. I'm like, how do I do that? How do I join the online world, the party the world's having? How do I join that party and still completely submit myself to Jesus? It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Listen to an old man on the stage. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. I'm laboring this. Okay. The seed, verse 14. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. And they do not mature. We might think to ourselves, it's okay if I don't mature as long as I'm in. We will not think like that on that day. We will not be thinking like that. The Lord calls us to grow up. Think of Paul, what he said to Timothy, Demas. In one letter, Paul's saying, Demas is with me. This is my crew. He's with me sharing the gospel. Paul writes to Timothy, Demas, because he loves this world, has deserted me. He's deserted me. And he's loved the world. And think of this seed that's just choked. I want to just say one or two things about this. There are friends that we've had in the past that we are loyal to that are choking the life of God out of us. And the Lord calls us to make a decision. He does not call us to act with carelessness and to act in such a way that hurts people. But he calls us to the greatest command, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And we cannot switch those two around. We cannot say, I'm going to hang out with these guys because I'm loving them and they're going to get born again. No. No, they're tapping into the sin in me. And I'm joining them in it. And the Lord calls us out of it. I remember realizing at a point, my friendship circle, they weren't criminals or, you know, they weren't doing things that are criminal. But if we're not pursuing God, then we're going backwards. Remember, nothing's neutral. And I remember just cutting off all my friendships. I did it badly. I hurt guys and I apologized later. But I remember thinking, I have to be with this man there, that guy there, in the dark blue jersey. I have to be with him. And I have to be with him. I had my friends who we lived worldly lives together. And I had that guy. And I was like, this guy's going to help me become the man that God wants me to be. And I just had to be with him. And I had to say to my friends I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to love them, but I cannot go down the roads they're going down anymore. And the Lord calls us out of destructive friendship groups, out of some misplaced loyalty. That loyalty is not going to stand in our stead on the day of the Lord. It's not going to. We must be light. Of course, we must be light. But I'm telling you, with many people in our lives, the minute you actually are a true light, they're not going to even want to hang out with you. The minute we actually say, listen, this is the truth of God and of eternity. People are like, wow, I'm busy Friday. Like, I can't hang out with you. So which is it? We choose who we serve, man. We choose. But the Lord calls us out of destructive friendships. These things choke us. I'm going to mention one now that I'm not going to try not to overplay it, but you might not like me for mentioning this, but I want you just to hear me out. Our city has a secular religion. And that secular religion is sport. If you want to know if something's a religion, just find out what people pay their greatest homage to and what people give themselves to the most. You might look at me and say, well, you're clearly not sporty, so don't have a go at us who are. To which I would say, well deduced. Truth. That's right. I grew up in Summer Strand, and on a Sunday morning, there were not many people out and about because people were in church meetings. Today, on a Sunday morning, there's many out and about, and I'm not talking about us in the PM. That's okay. We must be careful. This has been said many times and will be said many times more. Sport is a recreational tool and is a device for health is a wonderful thing. It's actually so vital. I myself need to push myself to be active. I must. And yet I see a line. I see a line. And I think many in our city and beyond, in our nation and beyond, have crossed that line. And it's become a pursuit that has become captivating and all-consuming. And we find, I find sometimes we say things like, well, I want to belong to certain congregation because then I'll have time to do this on a Sunday. To which I say, praise God for those pursuits. But goodness me, the second I do that, I've touched something dangerous. I've touched something dangerous. I've touched something that is mortal to my soul, actually. And I think, brother, what are you talking about? It's just sport, like relax. Don't you know the enemy? The Bible says we should use the things of the world as though not engrossed by them, as though not coming under them for them to minister to us. I've watched with note I don't know if it's a FIFA ad before the World Cup. Shout out for the game tonight. Cool. I'll be watching it, but yeah, whatever. I think the ad is like, everything can wait for the soccer. I'm like, yo. I get it. Some clever guy in an advertising firm thought of that or AI'd it. Whatever. I get it. Everything can wait. Really? I don't know, man. This guy called Jesus, he didn't speak like that. He did not speak like that. Does that mean we go home and burn up our cricket pads we go and burn our cricket helmet whatever that thing is that you push in the backyard? Do you go and set fire to everything? No, man, it's not wicked. I'm not saying that. Wheelbarrow. Took me a while. Do you burn up your sporting equipment in a wheelbarrow, your little shin guards? Do you set fire to them? No. No. But see the heart of God and the urgency of the hour. The devil will take things that are good and right and proper, and he will say, give yourself to it. Give yourself. I speak as a man who has some of those things in my own life. The pursuit of the intellectual. I can feel that thing. Give yourself to it. And I want to in my flesh. But God's word comes to me and says it will choke. It will choke the life of God in you if you're not careful. Not that you can't go near it, but you watch that it doesn't consume you. And then one more thing on that. Just a little one. Oh. If we are struggling with what to do when we see people's bodies, the certain avenues are not going to help us. If we're struggling to be pure, going and hanging out with 40 people wearing the tightest clothing they could wear is not helping us. It's not good for us. Does that mean you're sinning by being there? No. Does that mean you're probably going to sin if you're there? Well, very likely, very possibly, if we struggle. Sometimes we need to take action, man. I've spoken to guys, beautiful guys who are like, I would do gym, and it's just people walking around. And what is gym apart from we're sculpting our bodies, so look at mine. No one goes to gym and goes like, don't look at me. You know, no one's doing that. It's like, look, watch me do it. That's okay. I don't ridicule that in the slightest. But we must know what that does to our hearts. And we must know it wages war against our souls. I'm not saying you're not allowed to. I'm not saying if you tell me how I just came from gym, I'm going to say, repent. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. As a default, I believe the best of everyone. And I believe everyone is trying to live a righteous life. I just know me. And if you're anything like me, it's not good for me. It's not good. And so we take action. We say, it will not choke me. It will not. In this season where God is moving, God is doing things. There's an open field. The Lord is working. He's raising things up. And we want to advance in the gospel. We look at those things and we say, Lord, is this choking the life out of what you're doing in me? I need help here. Is this okay? Okay. Well, let me get here. There is hope. Closing the Bible was just by mistake. There is hope. No sign there. I thank the Lord for the hope of the gospel. Imagine we just said all this and then said, all right, let's go have coffee. We can't anyway. It's like pitch dark in there. We said, all right, go home or whatever. Imagine we just said, resist this. Fight the good fight of the faith. Just stand firm against these things. Don't let that seed do that. In this hour, we must not be like that. Not a one of us would leave this place together and say, meet each other whenever, tomorrow or whenever, and say, I've done it fully, brother. It's like, who in us can conjure up the power that is needed to live this life of godliness? Not a one of us. We cannot work it up in ourselves. We cannot magic it up in us. Like, I'm gonna do this. Even saying I'm going to do this is like, the devil's like, I like the sound of that. I enjoy hearing those words. I'm just going to do this. No, I'm going to set myself on this, but I need the Lord. And the Lord can help me. And here's the hope, because Jesus doesn't stop with those three. And sometimes we think the good crop that came up was like luck of the draw. Like it just landed on good soil. Maybe the soil was good. I don't know. It wasn't luck of the draw. It wasn't just random. It wasn't like, well, this crop just did well. Well, looky there. Like, how did that happen? Jesus gives us the answer in verse 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. And here it is. Who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Who hear the word of God, retain it, keep it in, and by persevering produce a good crop. And this is what I want to say. Persevere. Persevere. Don't give up. Don't give up. The Lord will help us. The Lord is able to help us. The Lord is able to work in us powerfully. But we must not give up. If your sin disappoints you, welcome to the club. Welcome to planet Earth. If your sin makes you feel horrible about yourself, it's a sign that God is at work in you. It's a good thing if our sin feels bad to us. It's when it doesn't feel bad. That's a problem. But if our sin disappoints us, it should point us to the Lord to say, Lord, what? Who am I? What am I doing, Lord? And the Lord says, I will help you. But we must persevere in him. And often the persevering is just coming to him. It's coming to the Lord. It's coming to the Father. It's coming to the lover of our souls. It's coming to the one. Have you ever had a period where you just haven't prayed enough and people are getting up and preaching about prayer and you're like, oh, stop preaching about prayer. And you're like, you know you're not praying enough. And then you have a day where you're just like, fine. Lord, I love you. And you just begin to speak to God. And you think, why have I not been doing this? What has happened? Who has bewitched me? The answer is the devil has leveraged our flesh and he's convinced us to sit on the sidelines. But the Lord comes, and when we come to him, when we persevere, do not give up meeting together. Persevere in meeting with the people of God. I'm not talking about a Sunday meeting. That's just when we all get together, meeting with each other. Persevere in it. Persevere in doing good works. Persevere in standing firm in the Lord. Persevere in repenting. Persevere in repenting. To my shame, there's so much sin in my heart that I don't even repent of. I'm just like, well, that wasn't good. Like, come on, bro. Like, you've got to do better than that. And the Lord says, no, repent. Lord, I'm sorry. God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Forgive me that, Lord. It's a disgrace, actually. I'm so sorry, Lord. We persevere in repentance. We persevere in suffering for the Lord. We persevere in fighting for the truth. The good crop, the Lord has stacked the odds in our favor to produce a good crop. He has. He's given us everything for life and godliness, the Bible says. He's given us his very son. The Lord will not be found being accused of not reaching out to us and helping us. He has shown his hand. Do you sit in this meeting discouraged, despondent? Do you sit in this meeting thinking, fine, that's for everyone else, but it's not for me, because God knows my heart and he sees into me. And when he sees into my heart, he sees all the mess. Well, welcome. Hi. Nice to have you with us. Here we are. We're all a mess. We're all a hot mess. The Lord looks into all of our hearts and he sees what's in there. But he says, I will help you. I will help you. And some of us have had parents that said, you're on your own. Whether they said it actively or whether they did it by their actions. But the Lord is not an earthly parent. That's why we pray, our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. And he's a good Father. And he will help us. A prayer the Lord hears is the prayer, help me, Lord. He will help when he hears that prayer. The Lord is faithful. And so tonight, it's like the enemy will knock. He will try and hit our perseverance. I just praise the Lord that he put that in there, that he didn't just give me some good crop that was just nebulous and it just appeared and like, oh, there it is. Oh, well, I don't know what to do with that. Am I going to be that? I don't know. But then he said, no, you hear the word of God. Keep it in. Don't let it out. Keep it in. Remember it. Write it in your heart. And then persevere. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Do you know I'm so weak? Oh, my goodness. I'm so weak. If you could see me on my own. When I'm on my own, I'm just like, I lapse into my own. I burrow into my own mind and my own thinking. And I can do that for a while. And suddenly I'm around the people of God. And I'm like, I'm a word. The Lord is amazing. He can help us. I wish I was stronger. I wish I could go into my room, lock my door like some of the guys, and lock my door and just be like, Lord, I will fight for this and strengthen myself in God. I wish I was stronger. I'm not. But when I'm around people, and I also come to the Lord, but when I'm around people who lift me up, I'm like, of course. Of course God can help me. Now, what is that? Is that just purely people? No, that's God working even through people. He's so kind that when I don't come to him like I should, he even helps people to help me. And it's his voice coming through. You can do this. You can do this. You can produce a good crop. You don't have to go down those roads that you might have even gone down up until today. You don't have to go down them anymore. You can live a new life. The enemy is sitting on the side going, no, you can't. You cannot do this. I bet you'll try it for a little while and then you'll flame out. But when it comes to the Lord goes, you keep quiet. You stop. I'm talking now. When God tells you to stop talking, you stop talking. We've seen it in the Word. The enemy falls silent, and God speaks. Well, I want us to respond tonight. I feel like just even reading the Scripture is too important. It's too important to say, well, let's read this again in our comms, and let's really think about this. And what it's like. In some sense, I've done my thinking about it. I just need the Lord now. I need the Lord. I can't overthink these things. And I want to ask, how many of us here find ourselves in one of those three categories of the seed? seed lands and gets snatched up before it even has a chance. In our meetings, there can be people who are not even born again. They're not in Christ. That would be quite a normal thing to have people like that in a meeting. Well, praise God that you've come, that you've joined us. But the Lord calls you to be obedient to him. He calls you into obedience. The phrase Paul used was to obey the gospel. Not to think about it and say, oh, I think I agree with it. He doesn't care if we agree with it. He wants us to obey it, listen to it, submit to it. We find ourselves being the plant that grows up and is just shattered by the sun because its roots can't go down. How many of us find ourselves in that place? We find with great joy we want to serve the Lord. It's not necessarily a bad heart. It's not necessarily a person who's set themselves against God, but we've not taken care to dig down into the Lord. We've not strengthened us or fortified ourselves with the Word of God. And we're finding when something comes, whatever's equivalent to the heat of the sun, the heat of temptation, the heat of our old ways, the heat of the flesh, when it comes, we just fold. We're like, I can't stand against it. No, God says, you can. I want to help you. But we've got to say, Lord, help me. And then how many of us would find ourselves in a place where we are trying to grow up in the Lord, but something has tangled itself around us. And it's powerful. And I don't know how to quantify. I've come under the grip, I think you could say, of temptations and urges and leanings and that feel so powerful to me, I don't know what to do with them. They can feel so, like, more powerful than anything else. The only way I can come out from that is say, Lord, I call on the Lord. Break the power of this, Lord. Break it, Lord. And I'm going to keep praying, break it, Lord, until I'm free of this. Because I can be free in the Lord Jesus.